بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, بإذن الله تعالى, we have completed the series of classes on the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the benefit of, first of all, teaching and learning, and then of emulating the life of Rasulullah, bringing the barakah of his life, alayhi salatu salam, his actions, his motivations, his akhlaq, his manners into our lives, and thereby beautifying our lives and making them, inshallah, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This final episode is about what happened after Rasulullah passed away, the few days after when the selection of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu took place. Some Ansar, now Rasulullah just passed away, there was this talk about where is he going to be buried, is his ghusl going to be done, and as we normally do in ghusl, do we take the clothes off and then bathe the body and then wrap the body in a kafan, or what is to be done, and so forth. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu then mentioned, and he said that Rasulullah had told him, one, that the Anbiya are buried wherever they died. So his burial would happen in the house of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha and not in Al-Baqiyya, which is the Qabristan, the Maqbara, the graveyard of Medina. As for ghusl, he was not disrobed, he was bathed. His blessed body was bathed with his clothes on, and he was buried in the same clothes. Now, before that, the arrangements for the burial, the digging of the grave and so on was going on. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas and so on, the close family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were engaged in that. Some Ansar gathered around Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu in the courtyard of Banu Sa'idah. Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu was also ill at the time. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was Zubair bin Awam and Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhuma ranhum ajma'in gathered in the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. And the Muhajirun were together with Usaid bin Hudayr and Banu Abdul Ash'al. They gathered around Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. A man came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu and informed them that the Ansar were gathering around Sa'd ibn Ubadah. The man advised them to go out immediately and organize the leadership of the Muslims. He said it is unbecoming and inappropriate of the Muslims that Rasulullah ﷺ has not even been buried, and that divisions should start to appear among them. As Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu were going towards the meeting of the Ansar, they met two men from the Ansar who said that the Ansar were entertaining separatist ideas, and advised Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to sort out the matters of the Muhajirun first before going to the Ansar. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu advised him to continue onwards and see what the Ansar were doing, and that is what Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did. They came to the courtyard of Banu Sa'idah and they found the people gathered around a man who was wrapped in a blanket. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked who the man was, and they said it is Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, who was suffering from a serious sickness. Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were joined by several of the Muhajirun, and they took their seats. A speaker stood up and after praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "We are Al-Ansar. We are the helpers of Allah and we are the army of Islam. You, the Muhajirun, are only a brigade in the army. Nonetheless, a group of you have gone to the extreme of denying us our natural leadership and of denying us our rights." See how shaitan works. And Rasulullah has not even been buried and already shaitan is working hard to create divisions among those who are closest to Rasulullah. Now, this is an old complaint which some people used to make, that the Muhajirun have taken leadership. And Rasulullah mentioned very clearly, he said leadership will be with the Muhajirun, will be with the Quraysh, because this is the connection of Rasulullah. Now, so it was an old complaint and it, you know, didn't get aired too much as long as Nabi was alive. However, now it was raising its ugly head and threatened to divide the Ummah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was on the point of getting up to reply and was visibly angry at this unjust accusation, but Sayyidina Abu Bakr restrained him and he told him to sit down. Then he turned to the Ansar and he said, "Oh people, we the Muhajirun were the first men to convert to Islam." Now, this is the truth, because Islam started in Makkah. "We enjoy the noblest lineage and descendants. We are the most reputable and the best esteemed as the closest blood relatives to Rasulullah." He said, "The Quran itself has given us preference." When he recited the ayat, "Wasabiquna al-awwaluna minal muhajirina wal ansar." The muhajirina mentioned first and then the ansar. "Walladhina taba'uhum bi ihsani radiyallahu anhum wa radwan wa'adda lahum jannatin tajri tahtaha al-anharu khalidina fiha abada ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Tawbah, and the first to embrace Islam of the Muhajirun and the Ansar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Muhajirun first and then he mentioned the Ansar. And this was what historically this is what happened. And also those who followed them exactly in faith. Allah is well pleased with them. And they are well pleased with him, Jalla Jalaluhu. He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow, which is Jannah, to dwell therein forever. That is supreme success. Now, on a side note, I want to say here with respect to this ayah, that this ayah also is the sign of the great rahmah, the great mercy and the great kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. Because in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have restricted the radiallahu anhu wa radwan and the Jannah and so on to the Muhajirin and the Ansar. For example, this ayah could have said, "Wasabiquna al-awwaluna min al-Muhajirina wal-Ansari radiallahu anhu wa radwan." That the first to embrace Islam, the Sabiquna al-awwaluna, those who raced and won the race and they were the first to embrace Islam among the Muhajirin and the Ansar, Allah is pleased with them, they are pleased with Allah. But Allah in His infinite mercy opened a door for all those Muslims until the end of time who want to join the Jama'ah, who want to join the group of the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, the Sabiqun al-Awwalun, the first to embrace Islam, who Allah praised among the Muhajirin and the Ansar, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Walladhina taba'uhum bihsan," and also those who followed them bil-ihsan, in excellence, in faith. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq and the ability to live our lives like the Sahaba. This is the reason why it is so important to stay away from bid'at, to stay away from all kinds of customs and practices that creep into Islam, which the Sahaba never did. Stick to what Rasulullah did and what his Sahaba did, and inshallah, you and I will be with them when we are resurrected. So this ayat, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq recited radiallahu anhu. And then he said, "We were the first to emigrate for the sake of Allah. And you are literally Al-Ansar, that is helpers." He said, "Alhamdulillah, we acknowledge you. But we are the ones, we first accepted Islam, then we gave up everything and we migrated for the sake of Islam." He said, however, you are our brothers in religion, our partners in the fortunes of war, and our helpers against the enemy. All the good you have claimed is truly yours, for you are the most worthy people of all mankind. But the Arabs do not and will not recognize sovereignty unless it belongs to Quraysh. So the Umara will be, the leaders will be from us, and you will furnish the wazirs, and you will furnish the prime ministers, you will furnish the advisors. Now, this is, see the whole, this whole speech, and this was the talent of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, where he's taking people along, right? This is the most beautiful and the most important element in any leadership issue, which is not just to bash on regardless and to be sort of passionate speeches and to stand out. It is how many people are willing to follow you, because there is a leader by definition is somebody who people follow. It's not somebody who nobody follows. If nobody follows you, you cannot be a leader. And that is why to have a sweet tongue, to have kindness, to be compassionate, to go out of your way to help people, to build bridges, to build relationships, all of this is absolutely critical to great leadership. My first boss, James Nicholas Adams, Nick Adams, who eventually accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, he used to say that human relations is like a bank account. You put into it money when you don't need it, so that it is there when you need it. And he said, in human relations, this is good deeds, this is good behavior, this is helping people, this is building goodwill. You do things for people when they need it. When you don't need their help, you help them when you don't need their help, so that when you need their help, they will be there to help you. And this is what Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is doing. He's not saying we are the leaders and you can go to hell. No, he's saying, yes, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you, you are our helpers, we are grateful to you, and we acknowledge your very special status as the Ansar, as the helpers of Rasulullah. But at the same time, he is now asserting himself, asserting the position of the Muhajirun, and he's saying, we were the first people to whom Islam was presented, we were the first people who accepted Islam, we were the first people who gave up everything for the sake of Islam. And we left Makkah and we came to Medina. This is fact, and the Ansar knew this. So then one of the Ansar, he says, you can have your Amir as long as we also have our own Amir. Now this was like two people. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu repeated his decision. Then he took the hand of, so he said, no, Amir has to be one, you cannot have two heads. Then he took the hand of Umar ibn al-Khattab and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, who were sitting there. He lifted their hands, raised them up, and he said, either of these men is acceptable to us as the Amir of the Muslims, so choose whoever of them you want. So at that time, all the people, they started to speak at the same time, and the meeting was on the point of disintegrating, a lot of argument and so on, when Umar ibn al-Khattab, in his usual loud, clear voice, he said, who among us is willing to be the Imam and have Abu Bakr as the Ma'mur to pray behind him? They all fell silent. And they said, Ya Zubillah, they said, no, this is, may Allah protect us, this is not correct. So then Sayyidina Umar said, Ya Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, stretch, give me your hand so I can give you my bayah. And then he said, didn't Rasulullah himself not command you to lead the Muslims in Salah? He said, therefore, you are his successor. We elect you to this position. In electing you, we are electing the best of those whom Rasulullah loved and trusted. Now, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's words, they really touched the hearts of the Muslims as they truly expressed the will of Rasulullah up to and including the last day of his life. On that day, they witnessed his insistence. They were all there. They had witnessed his insistence at that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lead the prayers even in his own presence. Thus the difference between Al-Muhajirun and the Al-Ansar was dissolved, and the members of both the clans, both the camps, came forward and gave their bayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. On the following day, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu ascended the minbar in the masjid, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu stood up and rose, and he said, after praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "Yesterday I presented to you a novel idea. I drew it neither from the book of Allah nor from any memory that I have of Rasulullah. It just occurred to me that Rasulullah would continue to lead us in this world forever, and that he would survive us all. But now I know better. Allah has left us his book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we hold wisely to it, Allah will surely guide us with the same felicity and the same ease that he guided his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. Allah has consolidated you together under the leadership of the best man among you, of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was blessed with the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave when the Makkans were following in close pursuit. Rise and give him his bayah. Rise and give him your bayah." All the men rose and gave bayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. This was the public bayah following the private one in the court of Banu Sa'ada. So it shows how Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was publicly elected, and he was given the bayah by all the people, and this happened willingly because they recognized his superiority among all of them as the closest companion of Rasulullah, the one who was closest to him, the one he loved the most, the one who was in the cave with him, the one for whom Allah revealed ayat of the Quran, and so on and so forth. And on a side note also, the last khutbah that Rasulullah gave in the masjid on the Thursday, Rasulullah said that I have fulfilled the whatever I owed to anyone, I have completed. I have given it. I do not owe anything to anyone except Abu Bakr. And what I owe to Abu Bakr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay that on my behalf to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So there is the superiority of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu among the Sahaba of Rasulullah is established in multiple ways. Multiple ways, alhamdulillah. May Allah guide those who dispute this, and who may Allah protect us from those who abuse him and to criticize him, because this is something that Rasulullah would never have accepted, and it would have caused him great pain, that the one he loved the most, that his ummah, there are people in the ummah who criticize him and who abuse him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then, after this, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, after the bayah was over, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he rose and he delivered a speech which can be truly regarded as the most illustrious embodiments of wisdom and sound judgment. After praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "O people, here I have been assigned the job of being a ruler over you while I am not the best among you. So if I do well in my job, help me. If I do wrong, correct me, redress me. Truthfulness is fidelity, is faithfulness, and lying is treason. The weak shall be strong in my eyes until I restore to them their lost rights. And the strong shall be weak in my eyes until I have restored the rights of the weak from them. No people give up fighting for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts upon them abject submission. And no people give themselves up to lewdness, to shamelessness, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelops them in misery. Obey me as long as I obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command or His Messenger's command, then no obedience is incumbent upon you. Rise to your prayer that Allah may bless you. And then he led them all in salah. Again, see this beautiful speech. What wonderful words of wisdom. He's making two things very, very clear. Number one, that it is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will apply. So he says, I am your ruler as long as I obey Allah. If I disobey Allah, then it is your job to change me. So today when people say, do not criticize rulers, you must think, here is the one who say, if I do wrong, correct me. If I disobey Allah, then correct me, remove me, right, redress me. The second thing he is talking about is the rights of people. He is saying the weak, it is my job to ensure that the weak will get their rights from the strong. And it is my job to ensure that the strong will not usurp the rights of the weak. So the strong will be weak, meaning I will fight them until they give back what they have taken from the weak. Now think about this. He is not saying strong Muslim, weak Muslim. He is talking to Muslim, but when he is saying strong and weak and so on, all of these apply across the board to all people because this is the law of Islam. Islam does not differentiate in terms of good and evil between the Muslim and the non-Muslim. The action is what is judged in Islam. If the action is good, it is good for everyone. If the action is evil, then it is evil for everyone. Then we come to the funeral of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was some disagreement, as I mentioned earlier also, I sort of preempted myself. There was some disagreement on where he was to be buried. Some people were of the opinion that he should be buried in Makkah. They said take him there because that's where he was born. Others wanted him to be buried in Baqi al-Qalqad, which is the Qabristan of Medina, so that he would be close to his Sahaba. Others said that he should be buried in Jerusalem, as other prophets have been buried in the Holy Land. Others thought that he should be buried in Masjid al-Nabawi, either under his minbar or next to it. However, this was vetoed, as Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha related, that whenever he was in pain, he would curse those who turned the graves of their prophets to places of worship. So she said, not in the Masjid al-Nabawi, not near the minbar, not anywhere there, because it would become a place of worship. So then Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu finally saw this, and he related that he had heard Rasulullah saying that the prophets died in the place that they were to be buried in, so they should be buried where they died, and this is what was decided. So Rasulullah should be buried where he died, and this is the decision. Rasulullah his body was washed by Ali bin Abi Talib, Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah bin Abbas, Fadl bin Abbas, and Muqaddim ibn Abbas, and Usama bin Zayd, and Saleh, who was the servant of Rasulullah. They were debating whether to wash his body with or without the clothes, and then they heard a voice from the heavens saying, wash him with his garments. So they washed him over his garments. Ali radiallahu anhu was holding Rasulullah to his chest like that while they poured the water. Then they wrapped him in the kafan, which is three parts of pieces of cloth, with his clothing on him. Then people would make, they would come in groups because the place was small. The room was, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha's room was small. So they would come in groups, and group by group they would pray Salatul Janazah on him. All the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were with his body in the room. Sayyidah Aisha said, we were all there and we were crying, but just to have his body there was a comfort. Then late in the night on Wednesday, we heard the pickaxes as they dug the grave of Rasulullah, and we screamed. This they heard in the masjid, and they started to weep, and the whole of Medina wept. In the morning, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu stood to call the adhan, but when he came to Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, he started weeping uncontrollably, and he could not complete the adhan. Imagine, this is such a emotional time it must have been, subhanAllah. They dug the grave in the room of Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, where he died, as we said, this was the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha said, I had a dream that three moons fell into my lap. Abu Bakr Siddiq said, if this is true, then you will have three of the best men buried in your house. And so, when Rasulullah died, he said to her, when Abu Bakr Siddiq said to her, this is the best of your wounds. And as we know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq himself and Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab were buried with Rasulullah on either side. When they buried Rasulullah, Fatima asked Anas bin Malik, ya Anas, how did your heart permit you to throw soil on Rasulullah? It was very difficult for the Muslims to accept the death of Rasulullah. Anas bin Malik said, I witnessed 2 days in my life. One was the best day and one was the worst day. The best day was the day that Rasulullah came into Medina, and the worst day is the day he passed away. When he came to Medina, Medina became Al-Munawwara, became the Illuminated. One day, I mentioned this story before, but let me say it again. One day, Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu went to visit Umm Ayman radhiyallahu anha, and she started to weep. They asked her why she was crying, and she said, because the wahi has stopped. Rasulullah left behind his mule, his armor and weapons, and some land as sadaqa for travelers. He also said, we, the community of the prophets, are not inherited. He said, we don't leave behind wealth. Whatever we leave behind is for charity. So whatever is left behind is we give in charity. In another place, he said, the inheritance of the prophets is knowledge. So whoever studies and gains knowledge has inherited from the prophet. Rasulullah died at the age of 63 on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died at the age of 63 2 years later. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also died at the age of 63, following the sunnah of Rasulullah in death as they did in life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the company of these beautiful people, our leaders, the best and best of them, the leader of all of humanity, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I ask you to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept these whole series of classes and should reward us for this and make us among those who follow what we have been teaching and learning. And we ask Allah to fill our lives with the barakah of that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, I ask you for special dua for me and my family. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen.